Well, good morning and welcome to worship online for this Sunday, January the 8th. I would like to take this opportunity to wish you a happy new year, as I haven't been able to do that online yet. And we are very glad that you are with us today, and we pray that we can all worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together. As a Christian organization committed to the ministry of reconciliation, we acknowledge the harms committed to the indigenous people of this land by those of us who have settled here. We also acknowledge that the Treaty 7 region of southern Alberta, on which we stand, is the ancestral traditional land of the indigenous people, and we are grateful for their stewardship of the land and their hospitality, which allows us to live, work, and serve God, the Creator, here together. We also affirm our pledge to stand for justice and our commitment that our church is a place where all people, regardless of race, culture, sexuality, or faith, are welcome. Together we hope that all can find the true love of God and authentic community. Our call to worship this morning is a responsive call to worship, and I invite you to say your lines with me as they appear on the screen. May the light of God's love push back the darkness. We come to the light from the four corners of the earth, from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. But we are all one in Jesus Christ. We come from many nations and many cultures, but we are all one in Jesus Christ. We come seeking the light that guides us to life, but we are all one in Jesus Christ. Let us lift up our many voices and praise the God of all people. Let's pray. Eternal God, by a star you led Magi to the worship of your Son. Guide the nations of the earth by your light, that the whole world may see your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. It is Epiphany Sunday, and we are going to be talking about the light of the world in many ways this morning, and our song list also has a number of things that you would find. We'll talk about that as well. Psalm 112, the NRSV edition, it has an updated edition, which I really have appreciated, and so we're reading from that this morning. Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. They will be remembered forever. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have distributed freely. They have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor. The wicked see it and are angry. They gnash their teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked comes to nothing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us spend a few moments in prayer, shall we? God of the Bethlehem Star, everyone is searching for your light shining in the face of Christ. The Magi sought Christ simply to worship him, but Herod sought him to appease his jealous anger. We confess that our motives in seeking Jesus are not pure. We do not come simply to worship. We come to Christ asking his benefits of reassurance, health, wealth, asking him to fulfill the hundreds of petitions for not so important requests that we heap before him. But the Magi sought the kingdom. Help us, God, to follow your example, putting our own need in perspective, worshipping the Christ in love, content to be in your presence and laying our gifts before you. And then may we journey trusting that your goodness and forgiveness and light will accompany us all the days of our lives. God of new beginnings, as we conclude the recent holiday season and celebrate now your Epiphany, we recognize that we are even now forging ahead into a new year. As we look back on the year gone by, we see so many things, things that grieve us, things that cause us to rejoice, things that surprise us in ways both good and bad, things that concern us. For our congregation, O Lord, any given year is often the time of highs and lows, of births, of deaths, of exciting opportunities and unfulfilled hopes. Yet you are the faithful God who stays with us in and through it all. When we ascend into the heights of joy, you are there to receive the words of praise that gush from our lips. When we descend into the valleys of shadow, death, fear, and uncertainty, you are there to hold our hand in the darkness and to assure us that we are not alone. When we walk level paths as we go about ordinary tasks, you walk with us, gracing the fruit of our hands with your own sacred benediction. We confess, Father, that because we do not always behave the way we desire for ourselves, there are times when your abiding presence makes us squirm, when the brilliance of your light makes us scurry for cover. We are ashamed of some of the things we do as you walk alongside us, of some of the thoughts we entertain in the deep places of our hearts, places that are, even so, not hidden from you. Yet in your grace, you continue to stick with us, so we find your faithful consistency as our companion in joys and sorrows to be a source of relief, of assurance, of repose. Thank you for being with us through the many turns and twists that our paths took last year. And now, as we enter a new year, bathed in the sacred light of Epiphany, we sense anew how much we need your providential presence. We know that in past months, loved ones have suddenly died, precious jobs have suddenly terminated, illnesses that we did not even remotely suspect were diagnosed, and suddenly all of life changed. We did not see any of those things coming, oh God. And we do not have eyesight that can penetrate the months ahead in this new month and year. All we can do is petition you for mercy and strength to face what is to come. But we pray, too, that you will keep us in good health, in perfect safety, in the knowledge that we are loved by you and also by family and friends. We need that sense of love of God because we know there are so many around us in life who lack this awareness. So many are lonely. So many endured the holiday season with only a grim determination to help them keep getting out of bed in the morning. They had no parties to attend, received no Christmas cards in the mail, had few, if any, for whom to buy gifts or from whom to receive them. The lonely among us are often also the invisible among us. But you see them. And by the goading and prompting of your Spirit, you can enable us to see them as well. Minister to them, and help us to minister to those who find the cosmos a barren and cold place. Befriend the friendless, swaddle in love the unloved, take compassion on the bereft, the childless, the lonely, and do all of that, O God, through us, and through the love, friendship, and compassion we ourselves proffered to this community. Hear us as we pray, Sacred Father. For any here this morning who feels so constricted by doubt, anger, or grief that they cannot pray, assure them that we, along with many others, are praying for them. Bless us in the balance of this service, even as you have already blessed us and graced us by your presence, as we together glorify you in worship. Through Christ Jesus, the light of Epiphany, the light of the world, the hope of the nations, we pray. Amen. I want to thank you for your generosity toward our church in the past year, and also your generosity in our Christmas offering that went to refugee support through Canadian Baptist Ministries and also to the Salvation Army Women's Shelter. You have been very generous and blessed many others, and we are grateful. And we pray that that will continue in the new year. So let us pray for our offering this morning. Loving God, as Magi approach the child Jesus, we follow a star of hope. We come with awe and wonder, and we bring gifts, ourselves, our time, our money, our commitment. Send us home changed by coming here. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our second scripture reading this morning is from the New Testament, from Romans chapter 4, verses 16 to 25, and I'm reading from the Message this morning. Romans chapter 4, starting at verse 16. This is why the fulfillment of God's promise depends entirely on trusting God and His way, and then simply embracing Him and what He does. God's promise arrives as pure gift. That's the only way everyone can be sure to get in on it, those who keep the religious traditions and those who have never heard of them. For Abraham is the father of us all, not our racial father. That's reading the story backwards. He is our faith father. We call Abraham father not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Isn't that the way we've always read in Scripture? God saying to Abraham, I set you up as a father of many peoples. Abraham was first named father and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do, raise the dead to life, with a word make something out of nothing, when everything was hopeless. Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. And so he was made father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say, it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body can never father a child. Nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he had said. That's why it is said, Abraham was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. But it's not just Abraham. It's also us. The same thing gets said about us when we embrace and believe the one who brought Jesus to life, when the conditions were equally hopeless. The sacrifice Jesus made us fit for God, set us right with God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God of the nations, we have seen the star of your glory rising in splendor. The radiance of your incarnate word pierces the night that covers the earth and signals the dawn of justice and peace. May his brightness illumine our lives and invite all nations to walk as one in your light, even now as your word is read and proclaimed. We ask this through Jesus Christ, your word made flesh, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit in the splendor of eternal light, God forever and ever. Amen. So it's always a bit of a dilemma on Epiphany Sunday as to what to talk about. This is the Sunday set aside to talk about the wise men. And it's Jesus is Light of the World Sunday. And all of this is rolled up in Epiphany. It's also the Sunday where traditionally the baptism of Jesus is celebrated, and I think we'll revisit that one again soon. Epiphany Sunday. An Epiphany Sunday. What is an epiphany? It's an aha moment. It's the light bulb going on. What is your light bulb so far this year? I'd love to hear it. I would. All of Advent, we've been thinking about light and darkness. We've acknowledged that Christ is in both, that God created both. And our Advent devotional last week reminded us that the creation accounts, the songs of the Psalms, and especially the story of Jesus' birth, invite us into a holy, imaginative, redemptive, glorious darkness. Just the right setting to hold the shining light. Just the right manger to cradle the light of the world. And I really love those thoughts and those words. All of it invites us into an imaginative holy darkness. Isn't that beautiful? By the way, if you want a really good book along those lines, Barbara Brown Taylor's book, Learning to Walk in the Darkness, is really worth reading. I super enjoyed it a number of years ago. And then our devotional continues. Darkness and light are not opposites. They exist in relationship to one another, each finding its definition through the other. The story of God coming among us draws together light and darkness in one holy scene. The Christmas story invites us to rethink everything we thought we knew, preventing both the ancient grounding of the dark and the coming revelation of the light as places where God can be known. So let's rethink that a bit. Maybe we won't rethink everything we knew, but some things. Wonder what epiphany God is giving us here today. Are we open to it? Your epiphany might be different than mine. And if you're comfortable, as I said earlier, sharing it, I'd love to hear about it. Your epiphany might involve only you, or it might involve others. It might involve our church family, or your neighbors, or who knows. What is God saying to you, to us? One of the things that I believe that God keeps reminding us is that the light of life, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, is indeed hope for the nations. We touched on this in our call to worship, and we ask God to guide the nations by his light. It is only by the light of God shining into this messy, crazy, mixed-up world that we will ever see peace and justice. We've also sung a few songs about that this morning, haven't we? And I often marvel that even though God, in the Old Testament, clearly has a chosen nation, Israel, he has always made provision for the foreigners, the Gentiles, us, to know him and to know that we are loved by him and that we can be saved by him. The scriptures we read this morning have talked about this. It happened with Abraham, as we just read, and it happened with the Magi. Abraham was not a Jew, but because of his great trust in God, he became the father of the Jewish nation. We don't know what nationality the Magi were, but we do know that they traveled for a long time, probably almost 2 years, which means they definitely weren't Jews. It took great trust and faith to follow that star. And the star that appeared in the sky on that night that Jesus was born led the Magi to Jesus. Not newborn Jesus, as we sometimes think, but toddler Jesus. Regardless, the star, i.e. the light, that God placed in the sky, which he created, led the wise men to Jesus, the light of the world, the hope of the nations. And still today, more than 2,000 years later, Jesus is still the hope of the nations and the light of the world. He always has been, and he always will be. You may remember that in the Old Testament, over and over again, the Israelite people had to offer sacrifices of their sins. Actual sacrifices at the temple, the tabernacle, for all kinds of things. The law of Moses in the Pentateuch, in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, laid this all out. However, even in there, God makes it clear that all can be saved. Depending on the translation you read, foreigners, aliens, outsiders, are mentioned at least 25 times in the law. And most of those times have to do with the fact that he, the God of Israel, Yahweh, accepts the sacrifices of foreigners and that the Israelites are to treat foreigners justly. Our triune God makes it clear that he has created all people and that all people can be saved. Jesus, who arrived on earth as a baby, came for one purpose, and that is to live a perfect life so that we may know him and then die as a perfect sacrifice on the cross so that no sacrifice for sin ever need be made again. He died, conquered death, and rose again for all people everywhere. And that's what we remember in communion. We will celebrate in a few minutes. Jesus, the light of the world, shines his glory for all to see. And to those who believe in him and trust in him, there is life. That's what we read in the chapter in Romans, starting in verse 24 again. Abraham was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. But it's not just Abraham, it's also us. The same thing gets said about us when we embrace and believe the one who brought Jesus to life when the conditions were equally hopeless. The sacrifice Jesus made us fit for God, set us right with God. Did you hear it? Let me read it again. It is not just Abraham, it's also us. The same thing gets said about us when we embrace and believe the one who brought Jesus to life when the conditions were equally hopeless. The sacrifice Jesus made us fit for God, set us right with God. Did you hear it? When we believe and trust in Jesus, we, like Abraham, have been made fit before God. And it's all about trust. Trusting God, Creator, Redeemer, and Counselor, is the key. Jesus, God's promise for all mankind that we have been preparing for and celebrating during the past month, believing in this Jesus sets us right with God. And this amazing, intimate relationship we can have with Jesus depends entirely on trust. Nothing we can do changes that. It is trust. It is faith. It is God's marvelous gift for us, given to us by grace alone, if all based on embracing Jesus. I'm sure the wise men found that too. I'm convinced that whenever anyone truly encounters Jesus, their lives are changed irrevocably. All the people of the nativity narrative were changed. It made no difference that Jesus was a baby. Those he encountered were changed. Elizabeth and her baby, John, knew Mary was carrying the Messiah before he was even born. Simeon and Anna recognized the little one-week-old child as the long-awaited Messiah. The shepherds were amazed by what they saw, and they told everyone they met about it, and they were amazed too. So too the Magi. Think about it for a minute. Scripture says they were overwhelmed with joy, and I'm sure they were forever changed. Once again, God made sure that people from all walks of life, many nations, knew the Messiah had come and that he was the light of the world and the hope of nations. So what should our response be to that? Well, it says pretty clearly in Psalm 112 that we read, those who fear the Lord rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous. And it is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice. Verse 8, their hearts are steady, they will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have distributed freely, they have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. What is our response to the wonderful light of the world epiphany that we have seen, that was made known to the Magi and all the peoples of the world? Maybe that's a part of your epiphany this Sunday. Maybe that's a part of the aha moment that God wants you to hear today. We are God's people, walking in his light where he leads, and allowing the light of the world to shine through us wherever we may go. We are God's hands and feet, giving generously because he has blessed us richly. We are God's community, living out our faith in unity and community, both within these walls and beyond. Living out our faith in our neighborhoods, our city, and throughout the world. And so as we journey together in this new year, may we truly be God's shining light for all the world to see. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for your grace-filled gift of Jesus Christ and for our salvation through him. May you shine your light into the very darkest places of our souls and continue to transform us. And may we shine that light to all we meet. In your name we pray. Amen. The gospel tells us that God, by the leading of a star, manifested the Savior to the peoples of the earth, and by the power that enabled Christ to change water into wine, made known his glory to the disciples. So you're invited, all are invited, to come then to the joyful feast of the Lord and to be transformed. Our triune God makes it clear that he has created all people, and that all people can be saved. Jesus, who arrived on earth as a baby, came for one purpose, and that is to live a perfect life on earth so that we may know him, and then died as the perfect sacrifice on the cross so that no sacrifice for sin ever need to be made again. He died, conquered death, and rose again for all people everywhere. That is the glory of the Christmas story and of our salvation. And that is what we celebrate here. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for sending a star to guide the wise ones to the Christ child. But even more, we praise you for the signs and witnesses in every generation that lead us to Christ. We thank you for the covenant made first with Israel, promising to be Israel's light and salvation. You made Israel your people and promised that through them all peoples of the world would be blessed. We thank you for prophets who declared your word, for priests who made sacrifices for the sins of many, and for kings and rulers who ruled with justice, lifted up the poor and needy, and defended the people from their enemies. And with the apostles, prophets, and martyrs, with all those through the ages who have loved Jesus Christ, our Lord, and with all who strive to serve him on earth here and now, we join our voices in offering praise to the God of loving power and powerful love. Amen. Scripture says, "For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. As we partake of your body, Father, we do remember you, and we thank you for the forgiveness of sin that we experience through you. Amen. The body of Christ broken for you. Do this in remembrance of him and be thankful. Amen. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray. Your cup, the symbol of your blood shed for us and for all people everywhere. You came, you died, and you come again. Help us to proclaim that wherever we may be. Amen. Symbol of Christ's blood shed for you, and be thankful. Amen. Our benediction today is a responsive one, and I invite you to say it with me as highlighted on the screen. Christ is the light of our souls. We rejoice in this light, great source of truth. Christ is the light of our homes. We rejoice in this light, great source of peace. Christ is the light of the world. We rejoice in this light, great source of hope. And so go out as Christ's true light, dispersing the darkness of evil, for his grace, his power, and his peace go with you. Amen.